just a wonderful year. And we looked back at God's goodness and His faithfulness, and we had a terrific time of worship and of praying together and just reflection. And it was such a suitable and fitting way to end 2012. And we've turned the page, and now it's 2013, and it has been, of course, for a few days now. We all have hopes for this new year. We have expectations, hoping that this is going to be the year. Maybe this is going to be the year that you're going to, and fill in the blank. Some of you maybe are getting married this year, or you're going to get engaged this year, or you're going to have a kid this year. Any number of things. Maybe this is the year you're going to get that job, you're going to finally graduate, you're going to go back to school, you're going to continue to go to school, you're going to continue to work. We have all sorts of thoughts and hopes and dreams, and nobody really knows exactly what's going to happen. I love, one of my favorite phrases is that we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And it is so great to know that our future is held by our blessed Messiah that we just sang about. A blessed above all, a Lord who is King over all kings and Lord over all lords, a God who is sovereign and in control. And I have to just tell you, as we start this new year, I'm glad He's in control and I'm not. Though I must confess that very often I want to be in control. And very often I want to do things my way, and very often I forget that He's in control and I freak out. Any of you freak out about life? Any of you find yourself afraid and fearing from time to time and just panicking and stressing out? And then I stop and remember, wait, God is still God. He's still on the throne. He was faithful in 2012. He'll be faithful in 2013, and on and on and on. And I'm so, so glad for that. As we all know, one of the common things at this time of year is the making of New Year's resolutions. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? It's okay. There's no shame in this, okay? The rest of you just made New Year's wishes. Right? You just wish and hope something's going to happen. I give you guys credit for making some resolutions. You're going to try. Okay. So, if you kept your resolutions the first... You don't have to raise your hands. That's okay. Some of you are like, oh, I've broken them already. I'm really messed up. Well, why do we make resolutions? I mean, what? So some of you are like, I don't make them. That's the whole point. But those of you that do, or those of you that have thought of it, like, why do we make resolutions? Change, right? We want change. We want this year to be better. We want ourselves to change. We hope to grow. And this is really a great time of year to reflect, to plan. There's this myth, and the myth is that the older we get, the wiser we get. Friends, that's a myth. Okay, there's a lot of old people that have no wisdom whatsoever. The only way you're going to get is if you grow, if you learn, if you push yourself, development and change in your life. It doesn't just automatically happen. In fact, I think the only thing that automatically happens as we get older is we get closer to the grave. I mean, that's it. Like, we're slowly dying. There's no guarantee in growth unless you take those steps. And growth doesn't just occur unless you're talking, really, the only growth that occurs naturally, I think, is our waistline. It seems like that goes pretty well. Dr. John Maxwell, he says that we should be in growth, and one of the keys is perseverance. I love this. You know, you set a goal, make a plan, work, and then I think the most important piece there is stick to it. That's the thing. It's this perseverance. It's sticking it out. This week I was reminded of the power of perseverance. I heard a story about just swinging an axe. And maybe some of you have axe. I think about the trees that we did in Dexter and knocking down some trees with axes and chainsaws. But if you take an axe and you hit a tree that you want to come down, and you hit it 5 times, most likely it's not going to come down. I mean, unless it's like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree or something. But you hit it 5 times, it's too far. It depends on the size of the tree. But if the next day you do it again and you hit it 5 times, it's still probably not going to come down. But if out the third day and give it 5 swings, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day, and the seventh day, and you keep swinging 5 times a day, eventually, no matter how big that tree is, it's going to come down. What we do in our culture, it seems like, is we overestimate what we can do in a day. And we underestimate what we can do in a year. Or a decade. Or a lifetime. Or change the metrics any way you want to. But there's something about little, consistent things that we do over and over and over again that produce the results that we want. If you want to lose 20 pounds, you're not going to do it today. Right? You might lose one. Or you might lose a half pound or an hour. But you do baby steps. If you want to graduate with your PhD, just show up and ask, you know, someone for a degree. And, well, I guess there's some online programs you can pay money and get crazy things. But aside from that, like, it takes, and it starts with one class and another class, and it's these little steps along the way. And whatever you or resolve for this year, whatever growth that you want to see in your life, whether framed around 2013 or before you die on your bucket list or whatever, there's little steps that we must take along the way. Perseverance is the key. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I don't encourage eating elephants, by the way. But as we begin this new year, I want to just offer you several simple, powerful steps that will change your life, that will potentially change other people's lives, and if done consistently, really will change the world, because we know the world needs change. We know that the world is a, what do we say, a dark and weary world. But that weary world rejoices when the hope of Jesus Christ through us transforms it. The first thing I want to encourage you, a baby step to do this year, for all of you this year, is to get into God's Word. To read God's Word. And last year, we went through the whole Bible together as a church. How many of you joined us on that journey and you read through the whole Bible, or you got, maybe you didn't finish every single thing, but you gave a good shot reading through the Bible. Okay. Great. Some of you that were like a sheepish about it, here's the deal. We're doing the New Testament this year. It's doable. In fact, we're doing a 5x5x5 plan, and I think there's a copy of that in your bulletin. And some of you are like, wait, I can't do that. I'm already behind. You're behind 5 chapters. Okay. That means, like, if you do 1 chapter a month for the next, kind of catch up, like, you're not that far behind. So here's my New Year's resolution for all of us together. It's to read through the New Testament. If you read 1 chapter a day, 5 days a week, that's it. Like, you can even have the weekends off. Not that you want time off from reading God's Word. But I believe that if we are together daily reading a chapter a day, and not just reading on your own, but here's the neat thing about technology. You go to our Facebook site, and every day there's going to be someone posting today's chapter, just like we did last year with the SIO Journal. We've just brought Facebook for you. Every day of those 5 days a week, you can read someone's post, and then you can comment on it. And I would love for us this year to read the New Testament together, discuss the New Testament together on Facebook, and grow together in understanding who Jesus is, this Jesus Messiah that we read, and to read the story together. 5 minutes a day is about all it's going to take you to read a chapter a day. Is God worth 5 minutes a day? A lot more, right? He's worth 24/7, but 5 minutes a day, a year now, and look back and reflect. And I would just love it. Every hand is raised. Yeah, we all read through the New Testament. Well, how many of you want to be successful in life? Okay, how many of you want the other path? Failure? I see too many people that are like, okay, Kyle wants failure in life, but the rest of us, most people, they want to be successful. We're going to talk about definitions. We just don't have time to talk about the definition of success, but I would love for you, as we're starting this new year, to think about what is success for you? What is your definition of success? If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So I would encourage you, it was one of the most powerful questions that I've been asked in my life. What is success? How do I define success? And we've just defined success for SIO Community Church. We've said we're on mission, and maybe you've seen this before. The success for us is fulfilling the great mission, making disciples of all nations. And following the great commandment to love God and love our neighbor. And we said three ways to do this: by serving our communities, by sharing our story, and sending disciples to bless the nations for the purpose of glorifying God. It's all about God. Success isn't about us, it's us glorifying God. So how do we do that? Well, let's begin with why. I wanted to do an abbreviated process together. Maybe some sort of Lectio Divina. It's a Latin for divine reading. And this is done a lot of different ways. The four steps are to read and meditate and pray and contemplate. And what I want to do is sort of an abbreviated version of that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read just a short passage just to listen to it. And I want you to listen and just see if there might be a key word or phrase that sticks out to you. And then I'm going to read it again. And then the same thing. I'm going to pause for a little reflection. And then I'm going to read it again and pause for a little reflection. And just see what might be speaking to you through this short passage. We're not going to put it up on the screen. We're not asking you to look it up in your Bibles. Just listen. You might want to just close your eyes. Unless you're really sleepy. Any snoring, just nudge the person next to you. But just close your eyes and listen to the Word of God together. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And what word or phrases stood out to you? Bless? What was that? Through you? Okay. Did anyone bless? Did anyone hear that? Maybe some of you bless or blessing. It's one of the most foundational texts in all of Scripture. It's the beginning of a covenant that God made with Abraham. At the time, he was named Abram. And God says, my whole story is about love. It's about my relationship with people. And I'm going to choose you, Abram, not because you're perfect, but I'm going to choose you and I'm going to bless you, but not just so that you can be absorbing all this blessing. But why was Abram blessed? So he could be a blessing to others, right? To be a conduit of God's blessing. You all know what it is, like pipe, water flow, conduit. Electricity flows through conduit. Idea of being a conduit of. How many of you want to be blessed in 2013? I think we all want to be blessed. But the question is, What does that mean? And what are you going to do if you're blessed? Do you want to be blessed so that you can just enjoy it? Or do you want to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to others? We've all been richly blessed. Every one of us have been blessed. I mean, just the fact that we're in a warm room right now in such a cold day, we are so blessed. And I'm blessed by the heating system in here. But it's not something that we need to just keep to ourselves. We need to be a blessing to others. You know, we were studying the commandments this morning in the practice at 9 o'clock. And it struck me once again that we often talk about in the idea of sin, of those things that we don't do. And if we were to go around the room, most of you, I'm hoping, most of you would say, I've not committed murder this week. Okay? We're not asking for a show of hands because we don't freak anyone out. But I'm hopeful that most of you did not commit murder this week. You're like, hey, I'm doing, okay, I got one of the ten done. Okay. And maybe most of you would not have stolen anything this week. Okay, I didn't steal. I didn't rob a bank. Okay, good. You know, your wallets are safe, everyone. You know, don't have to. And maybe most of you say, well, okay, I didn't lie this week. Okay, good. Got checked. Kind of think about those. Yeah, well, I'm not a bad person. I didn't do these bad things. Or so we think. But I think, at least in my life, the greater sins that I commit are not sins that I commit, but they are sins that I omit. Because Jesus said, really, he said, love your neighbor. And love your neighbor is more than just not killing them. Not stealing their car, or, you know, flat screen TV or whatever. Good start of, like, leaving their stuff alone. But love is a verb, right? Love is action. Love has to take on an activity. And when I spend time reflecting on my own life and my own sins and confession time, I have plenty of sins that I commit. But very often, the sins that I omit, those actions that I omit that become sins, those things that God has asked me to do that I didn't do, those actions, steps to take, those inconvenient things, those sacrifices that I ignore, that's where I usually get much of my conviction. That we are to be a blessing, friends. And it's not enough to not kill anybody. It's not just enough to show up on Sunday. It's not enough to be a good person, hurt anyone. We're on mission to go out. We're on mission to be active, to love and to serve people all around us for whom Jesus Christ died. It was such a beautiful time, as it is each month when we gather and we celebrate communion and we think about the sacrifice that Jesus made and how much He loves us. And friends, we need to be reminded that He also loves the unlovable. He loves those people that drive you crazy. He loves those family members, those neighbors, those co-workers, those people in your life. And He died for them too. And He's left us to be blessing. He's entrusted us to be the ones that love and share faith, hope, and love with Him. That's a pretty amazing thing. Honestly, I think it's a ridiculous thing that He would entrust us with that responsibility. But that's what He's done. And our theme around here for this year is bless. It's very simple. Bless. And we're actually going to take these next 5 weeks and just talk about BLESS as an acronym. And the first B today is, it's to bless. Okay? And we've sung about it and we've talked about it. And in our few moments left together, things about, you notice, it's an overflowing cup. And I think this is the image that we should all have of being a blessing, that we are so blessed to overflowing, and that out of the abundance that we would give, out of the abundance we would give of our time, of our talent, our treasures, of our relationships, of our dreams, of all the resources that we have, because we've been so abundantly blessed, and too often we live with a scarcity mentality that says, oh, I have to keep what I have. I have to hold on to the little bit that I have without realizing just how blessed we are. As I was struck by one feature of a well-known story that most of you are aware of. Jesus, he goes to his disciples and he says, hey, we've got thousands of people out here and they're really hungry and we need to feed them. And this is the response. Philip says, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? And you know the rest of the story, right? Jesus says, sit down, let me pray. And wow, we've got food for everybody. I mean, it was just the most incredible thing. And it says when they all had enough, they gathered together all these leftover pieces, and there were 12 baskets and with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves. That doesn't even make sense. 5 barley loaves, there's 12 baskets left over. Now here's the thing. Did the boy need food? Did he need God to multiply any food? He was probably motto, be prepared. And the boy had his own lunch. He was all set. It was everyone else that, you know, forgot. They didn't have any food, whatever. The boy was fine. He didn't need a miracle from God. He was all set to go. He brought his own lunch. And the interesting thing is that the boy offered what he had and he gave it to Jesus. And in doing so, his sacrifice was multiplied to so many people. And I think it's a really great picture of this idea of blessing others. That we have been blessed. And we can hold on to what we have, like the boy. I mean, the boy could have said, you ain't touching my lunch. Go get your own food over here. But he took what he was blessed with and he gave it away. And it was multiplied. Friends, I would love for us around here to be telling stories about how we've taken the little things that God has given us and the big things that God has given us and just shared them and just blessed them. And what sort of effect that might have on those around us. John Maxwell said that if you trust Him with your lunch, it's only a matter of time before you trust Him with your life. The more you put in His hands, the greater it becomes. Just think about that for a second. And again, we all have stuff. And I don't just mean money or, you know, physical things, although it may be that. It may be time. It may be just a conversation. It may be listening. It may be a word. We're blessed. I read earlier this passage from Philippians in chapter 2. And I think it almost sounds far-fetched, right? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And as crazy as that part is, then Paul goes on to describe that, well, that's really what Jesus did. Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself, what was that word? I didn't miss that. But made himself nothing. That's our example. He said, follow me. That's what he meant. He said, make yourself nothing. I'm not saying a doormat, but surrender and sacrifice all your blessings, taking the very nature of a servant. And he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was blessed with life. Jesus was blessed by being God. And he gave up everything for us. And if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, like, this is what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to take everything and give it to him. Everything that we have belongs to him. Our talent, treasure, all his. Because when we give it to him, it's not like it's gone, it's lost. That little boy did not leave hungry. In fact, that little boy probably ate more than he came with. Ever think about that? Jesus' entire ministry was filled with both words and deeds to express the love of God to those around him. Now, in light of the world, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Yeah, I've been reading this book called The Entrepreneur by Mark Russell, and it's a great book. I highly recommend it, especially those of you that are in the marketplace. He talks about how you can just take your job your marketplace and make it your mission field. That wherever you are, we're all called to be a part of God's work and God's mission. And they did a really interesting study, and they took two teams in Thailand, and one you might call this team the blessers, and another team the converters. Okay, and the way this worked, the blessers, they went with the intention, they went to Thailand with the intention of blessing people, and they would say, I'm just here to bless whoever comes my way, or I just want to be a blessing to the people in my community. And the other team was like, we want to convert people. Well, that's our goal. We're going to convert as many people as we can. And it's interesting because the study followed both teams for a couple years. And first, the blessers had a greater social impact than the converters. Which kind of makes sense, right? This proved that the blessers' intentions of blessing the people in the community around them resulted in tremendous amount of, they called it social betterment and social good. So the community was better because this group of people was there to bless. But what's interesting is they discovered that the blessers, check this out, had 48 times as many conversions than the people there just to convert the people. 48 times more. The blessers were 48 times more successful at helping people encounter Jesus. Because instead of just word, they were there with word and you know, there's this great expression that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I don't know if you know this, but we have a PR problem in our nation with regard to our faith in Christianity. Christianity does not have a good reputation. We're known for some things that are atrociously inaccurate, atrociously poor. So, friends, this year I want to encourage you to find ways, simple little ways, to bless other people. From the very beginning, God's way to change the world has been a blessing strategy. It's been about blessing people, blessing to others. Now, you may say to yourself, okay, so what does that mean? How do I do that? Well, I'm just going to give you one simple step, and that is to pray and ask God who and how you can bless. That's it. Here's the challenge. Each week I want to give you a challenge. So this week's challenge, bless one person this week. Is that doable? I mean, we're trying to make it simple, right? I'm saying, down the whole tree. But by golly, if each person in this room blessed one person each week this year, do the math. We're talking a lot of people would be blessed. And out of those blessings would come conversations. And out of those conversations would come conversions. And out of those conversions would come transformation. And friends, we have no idea how God might use us this year to change the world. Does that excite you? And what excites me is it's so doable because I get overwhelmed. I think, oh my goodness, I got to change the world and everyone, they're lost and I need to save them all today. It's like looking at a redwood tree and go, oh, I have to chop it down and all I have is, you know, my Boy Scout knife. Like it just seems impossible. But if we break it down into small little pieces, it's doable. Again, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So this is my challenge. I mean, it's not rocket science. Bless one person this week. Maybe bless one person every day. I mean, even better. You get bonus points for that. Okay? But it begins with prayer. And I got to tell you, I'm about to, this afternoon, I'm going back to Cleveland for a week at the Ronald McDonald House. And it's really such a different environment living there. And every morning, when I've tried to get up and just, this has been my prayer for a while. Like, God, I want to bless someone today. Who can I bless and how can I bless them? And I don't even know if I'm going to see these people again after today because, people are moving and stuff. Like, I don't know. And sometimes I've just been a miserable failure. I shouldn't tell this story, but I'm in the waiting room at the hospital at the clinic. And I see this woman and she's taking care of this boy. And this boy, I mean, you can just see there's issues. I mean, like lifetime issues and deformities and stuff. And I'm just thinking, wow, God bless this woman and her child. And she was just so, she was just a great mom. I could just see it in her eyes and the way she was caring for this child. And there's so much love and compassion. And I just sat there and I'm like, how can I bless them? How can I bless them? And I thought, I'm just going to say a kind word. And And so as I was walking to leave there, I said to him, excuse me, you just seem like a great mom. I just love the way you take care of your child. It's just a beautiful thing. I just want you to know that. And she said, oh, this is not my son. I'm just a nanny. I was like, oh, well, you're a great nanny, okay? And she was very appreciative. But I thought, oh, gosh, I'm just trying to... I thought you told me that it was, little things, okay? Little things. And they will accumulate this year. And what we're going to do is we're going to share stories just about these little things. We all love the, great story. Hey, I went on this trip and 10,000 people repented of their sins and, now... But it just starts with little things. And I'm just looking in this room thinking, God... We serve a great God. And if we give Him our lunch, we are going to be amazed at what He does. So this week, give God your lunch. Bless someone. Pray, God, how can I be a blessing this week? That's really it.
When you give more, you serve the enemy. When you serve the enemy, you don't know what's going on around you. When you don't notice what's going on around you, you miss opportunities. When you miss opportunities, you live a very small life. When you live a very small life, you play endless solitaire. Don't live a solitary life. Bless everyone.
So there you go. There's a church that put these videos together. I thought it was kind of fun. So don't live a life. Bless everyone. That's it. Will you stand for closing prayer? Jesus, we have been blessed to be a blessing. And it's so simple. It's so, so simple. And yet, it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to expect someone else to do it. And I just pray that each one of us would come back in 7 days and have a story, big or small, about how you've led us to someone that we can bless. God, we just want to offer right now. We want to just give you, Jesus, our lunch. We want to give you everything that we have in this new year and ask you to bless it to be a blessing to others. And I just pray that we would be amazed, absolutely amazed at how you use us as a conduit of blessing to change the world. Thank you so much for invading our lives. Thank you for those that were a blessing to us, that introduced us to you, Jesus. I just pray that you would open wide doors of opportunity for us to bless and serve and share you with our world, that it may be changed one life at a time. And now, brothers and sisters, may God bless you to be a blessing. May He keep you and may His face shine on you as you go from this place to serve and to bless the world for His glory. In Jesus' name, amen.